join in on the conversation. We have a great conversation here. We just keep it clean and enjoy it and talk about whatever's up. Yep, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Our address there is 209 East Water Street, and our phone number is 740-494-2222. You can also reach us on the web at prospectccf.com. Glad to have you come and visit us sometime. Give us a call. If I'm not in, I'll be glad to call you back. So, I got all that out, didn't I? Huh?
You did, yeah.
How's your week been going, Terry?
Good. Busy, but good.
That seems to be what I'm getting from everyone. I think what's happened, you know, with the weather and everything, the way all the rain's been, man, the minute it dried out, everybody's cutting grass and doing yard work. I'll be honest, when I showed up at church Sunday, I thought, man, there's going to be a lot of people. You know, this would be, if there's going to be a day people are going to miss, it'll be today. But, you know, I was pleasantly surprised. We had a pretty good group at church Sunday, and, you know, that's a huge blessing.
Yeah, because you figure all the chores and stuff that they're behind. You know,
So I imagine they are and everyone else.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, how's the farms as far as, like, animals and stuff? I mean, are people getting caught up there? Or?
Well, you know, what I've noticed is that I actually saw some people in the field today. People on higher ground that didn't have water standing are able to get in the fields now.
Good.
But the ones that where the water's standing, they're still playing a waiting game. Mm-hmm. And some of them are able to farm around those wet spots right now. Actually, it's kind of amazing. Some of the prices have started jumping already, and you'll see that.
Somebody said corn was supposed to be.
Yeah, and you know the thing that people don't always realize is that animal feed prices jumped tremendously. And, you know,
I was just getting ready to say, how is it affected by this? Probably a lot, I imagine.
Oh, it's going up already. And the thing is that, you know, they're the a lot of the growers, as far as animal growers I'm speaking of, are not crop growers.
Ah.
So they get hit with that price pretty hard. Mm. And we'll see how it all plays out.
Because there are specific things that they have to feed there. Is that right? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
That are made from those.
Yeah, well, yeah, corn and soybeans. There's
made
for two.
Feed. Yeah, yeah.
Wheat, oats, corn, soybean.
Okay.
You know, all that stuff's affected, and I'll be honest with you. I think that a lot of times there's profit taking. We see that. We saw that in just about every industry there is, whether it's the lumber industry after a hurricane or whatever the case is. There's always profit taking, and people get a big ouch from that. So, anyway. Tough times, but you know, as a country and as a people, we've been through them before, and there's nothing new under the sun, they say. And you know, we're going to have those tough times, but hang in there; the good times will roll back around again. And I really wish, though, Terry, to be honest with you, I wish more people would really feel the need to come to church. And I have to. I talk to other pastors, and we have to sit back and we have to examine sometimes why is it that people aren't coming to church. And today as much as they were. And, you know, there's so many reasons for that. It's not one singular issue. I think a lot of it is people are just, I don't know a person myself that isn't busy. And if they aren't really busy, they have a tendency to make themselves that way. And, but people really are. They're running every direction. If you have any children at all, with all the activities going on, I don't know when as a parent you slow down these days. I watch my own kids, and it's just go, 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 go. And I remember we always like to come back and pick on sports. But, man, is it an easy target. Sports are great for a lot of kids, and I think they're really good. You know, we need the physical health side of it and all those things. And the camaraderie and learning. There are a lot of kids that don't belong anywhere can belong there, if that makes any sense. But at the same time, we may have gone off the deep end with a lot of it as far as the amount of nights they play and the times they play and the whole tournament thing. At least this year, I know the kids' games, one out in the tournament and you're done instead of two outs and you're done, and you know they've shortened them up a little bit that way. But you know, parents, if you've got two or three kids in different age groups, you know, you're just nonstop and you're dividing each other's time. Mom's going to this one, why dad's going to that one, and it does make it kind of difficult for parents. And Sunday rolls around, and you know that you don't have to get up to go to work, you don't have to get up to go to a ball game. So, man, maybe today I just won't have to get up to have to do anything until I'm ready to. And I think that's what a lot of it is. But I think that people are really shortchanging themselves in not coming to church. A lot of times I talk to people and they'll tell me, they'll say, you know, Pastor, I know where I stand with God. I don't feel the need to go to church. And that's just not, I don't know that God. I'm not aware of. Our God is a God that says that he wants his people to meet together and to build each other up, to lift each other up, to teach each other, to care about each other, and to be involved with each other. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that as long as you know who I am, you don't have to, you can go off in your own little world and do whatever. But I think that sometimes is a cop-out people use so they don't have to go. Another one I hear that's real interesting is that every time I go to church, all I want is my money. You ever heard that one?
Yeah.
I've heard that one a lot. And, you know, unfortunately, I have to be honest with you, I think that there are people that probably go to churches if that's the case. I think it gets played out of proportion a little bit by people that just don't want to go. I remember one time a man told his wife he'd come to church. And she'd been bothering him to come to church. And his argument always was, all they ever do is ask for money. Anywhere you go to a church. So he shows up, and lo and behold, guess what I was talking on that evening? I was talking on the fact that if you're in a church that's constantly hitting you up for money, go somewhere else. And he goes, wow, this is breath fresh air, you know. I mean, they're not asking for money. And but he still didn't come back to church again. So his excuse was just that. It was an excuse. And, you know, we do need to support the church and support the works. One thing I'm not sure that people really understand out there and really grasp, and you're not going to see it, you're probably not going to see it in the newspapers, you're not going to see it on the local news or on any news for the most part, is the amount of humanitarian work the churches do around the world. Whenever there's a disaster, the churches are the first ones in. They're always the first ones there with workers, with supplies. You know, I know in our association alone in the United States that we have trained people ready to go out of the drop of a hat. I mean, when all these floods hit, you had mud out crews going out into the worst hit areas in the worst states. And babysitting crews and communications. And we've talked about that before on the show. But, you know, the churches do so much.
Well, you do that thing for a week or whatever is that kind of similar to?
Yeah, we did that last year. There's a couple things. One's
that
called.
That was pretty neat, that thing you guys did. It.
Yeah. There's World Changers and then there's Ohio Changers. And I'm sure each state has a whatever changer. Now, World Changers is a group that they go out and what they do is they pick a city, several cities a year.
Okay.
And they will go into a particular city, and they will work with the local building code departments and with local suppliers and whatnot, and they will go in and do a massive amount of work in a particular community or area.
Somewhere it's been hit pretty hard or something.
Yeah, well, we went into...
when you called in there, I can't remember where you...
I was a crew leader with World Changers one year. We were in the south end of Columbus, putting roofs on and porches and whatnot. Now, this last year, we went to Ohio Changers, which was in West Jefferson, Ohio, and they were doing, we put on handicap ramps, built decks for some elderly people. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think what all we did. There was a bunch of stuff, put windows in, just a lot of different projects like that. And we're getting ready to do something in July in Prospect. We decided this year to keep it home, keep our kids home locally. And this year in Prospect, we're hoping it grows. We can do more next year. But we're building some handicap ramps and doing some major cleanup and some things of that issue. There won't be any spending the night like you do at the other places, but we will be working we'll start in the evening at the church, and then we'll go out and work for a couple hours each evening and then come back. There'll also be work going on during the day for those that can do it. And I know that right now we have at least one handicap ramp to build for a man that's really battling stage 4 cancer, and another lady that's struggling with physical ailments and putting a ramp in. I think we got 3 ramps to build. Just a lot of different things to do for different people around that need it. And you know, that's all. It doesn't cost anyone anything. It's all free material, labor, everything that we do. We go out and do those things, and it's good for the young people to see that, and it's good to get out and talk to people. And we're also going to be having a mini Bible school during that time for the parents, so they can be out working, and the kids that are left behind doing you know, at the church. And just some neat stuff going on, really neat things. But, you know, that's a lot of the stuff the church does, and people don't always stop to see that or see the amount of work that goes into communities, into our country, into the world. I saw somebody put a post on social media about a year ago that said, why can't the churches be taxed at the same rate as everyone else? We have all this extra money. And they use the example of a rather popular television pastor that brought in all this money. And what they didn't understand is he represents a very small percentage, very tiny percentage. He and those like him, a very small percentage of the churchgoers in America. And what we do as a nonprofit, churches are truly a nonprofit. They usually have a pastor that's paid, and some paid staff if they need it. But a church like ours, we have very little paid staff at all. I mean, we don't have – I'm the only full-time staff in the whole church. There's a couple part-time people, very, very part-time. We pay someone that does cleaning, and we pay secretary for, I don't know, I think it's 8 or 10 hours a week. But other than that, you know, there's no paid position there. And, you know, it takes a lot for the amount of stuff that we do and the volunteer stuff that we do through the church on a regular basis. It takes a ton of money to get that done. And if it was taxed, the thing is, here's what people don't really get that talk about that issue, is that the Bible calls us to be giving, and to give our first fruits, or the first that comes in, back to God. Well, it doesn't say whether it's taxed or not. In other words, even if they would tax that money, people should still give. It shouldn't affect their giving at all. However, it does. Someone that is in an upper tax bracket, they're probably going to be hurt by not being able to take that write-off at the end of the year. And maybe they'll find some other place to give it where they can write it off. And that's the part where the hurt would come in. Someone like myself, or most of the people probably in our church, it doesn't make a bit of difference whether it's to them, whether it's taxed or not. They can't get a deduction on it because they don't make enough to get a deduction on it. You know what I mean? The deduction would do them no good. But in areas there are too. But another reason the church needs to remain a nonprofit is because it is, and it's as much a mission or a service as anything is. And I think that if there are churches that are operating on a for-profit basis and are just lining pockets, and they need called out, they need you know, another thing that I don't think a lot of people understand, Terry, is that there is actually a watchdog group that most major mission organizations and churches can be subject to that, to look at their books and to look over them. And I know within our own association, we have to turn in an annual report on everything. And I believe that there's something that looked fishy, they'd probably be getting a hold of me real quick. So there isn't a lot of that. I think the ones you have to be aware of are the ones that won't let anyone look at their books and they're bringing in multi-million dollars, you know. That would be a little, okay, what's going on here? But to attack the church and say that they need to start taxing it, it just shows that people don't have, they really don't know what goes on and what doesn't go on. They really don't know the extent and the depth of what the church does in the world. To bail people out in bad situations, and so to be the first ones in, and to even sometimes, many times, put their own lives on the line to help people. They're there. That's what they do. And even in our own communities, you look at it, most of our food situations and meal situations and clothing situations, there's usually a church at the root of it. If there's no cost to it. You know, there's usually a church at the root of what's going on. Even rehab, you know, rehab things, and AA classes and divorce support groups, all those things the churches do. And I think when people think of the church, they only think of Sunday morning, when the general public thinks that way. Another thing that's kind of interesting is that there's two lines of thinking in even in our government and in politicians on what the Constitution says about freedom to worship and freedom of religion. In their in many of their minds, because they've never been deeply involved in a church, what that means to them is that everyone should have the freedom to go somewhere on Sunday and worship and then leave. That's not what that meant. What most people don't understand is that when you are involved in a faith, it is part of your walk. It's part of your daily being and who you are. So freedom to worship means the freedom to worship and have that lifestyle to worship. It's who you are, where you go, and what you do. So freedom to worship is a 24-hour-a-day thing. It's not a, well, you have the right on Sunday to go listen to someone preach. That's not what it was ever meant to be, and it's not what it is. And I think that's where a lot of misunderstanding happens sometimes. And people think, well, you don't have any right to talk about God in public. I don't. I mean, this is who I am. This is, you talk about what you want to talk about. Please, you know, I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about. And you don't have to listen. You know, if somebody gets on your nerves, you just tell them to be quiet. And it's kind of funny, too, you know, Terry, if you think about it, people will say, oh, man, he's trying to shove the gospel down my throat. And all maybe somebody might have done is said, hey, would you like to come to church on Sunday? Now, if you ask somebody if they want to say, hey, I'm going to the car races this weekend, you want to go with me? Do you think they say, oh, they're trying to shove NASCAR down my throat? No. But when you mention God, people, all of a sudden the walls start going up. And I think that it's partly a fear of I might have to do something with this if I even go that direction. Your phone went off. Hey, you know, anybody out there have any thoughts on that? Call in and talk about it. That's what we're here for, to discuss these things. I know it's dinner time. Most of you are probably sitting around the kitchen table. And by about now, it's 5:30 in the evening. Or you're trying to get home from work in traffic, and I know that's a difficult time too. But I really would encourage you to seek out a church. It's so important. Important to your kids and your family. Times are difficult. We're seeing them every day. Terry, sometimes it's a struggle to turn the news on.
Yeah.
You just see that so many things happening and negativity and...
My thing is, and I don't mean to keep picking on it because I think you've addressed it more than once or whatever. But talking about reasons why, I'm sure, like I say, you've heard it a million times. But the social media aspect of it, do you think a lot of people don't go because they can just sit at home and listen to these sermons and? Excuse me.
Actually, I do think that, and a lot of the churches right now. Are expanding their congregations online. You don't ever have to leave your house.
Right.
And I believe if you're doing that, that is a huge mistake. And let me give you a couple reasons why. One is because we need to be interacting with each other personally. You know, especially those of us that are working in the faith to accomplish goals, we need to be there. You can't ask questions online with an online church. I want to, you know, go to the hospital, see how quick your online pastor shows up. He's not going to be there, right?
Right.
That's the point. You lose that personal contact. You know, the Bible supported a local church. In other words, a local body where people can interact together and do things. And yeah, I do think people get online and they get a lot of stuff. And unfortunately, they don't get a lot of deep learning very often. We really need to be in the Word of God, in the Bible, studying it. And a lot of people just want to listen, and they never get that far to get in and study it. Or... even challenge someone that's, you know, I open the lines here and say, challenge me. You don't like something, call it and tell me. Explain it. But, you know, when you have a television ministry, you can't do that. But yeah, I think that it really has. You know, people think, what do I need to go to church for? I'll be honest with you, I did that as a young man. Every Sunday morning, I was so busy. I was working 7 days a week back then, especially in the summertime. And when I could get some Sundays off, I wanted to get up slow, cook the sausage and pancakes, and turn on the television minister. And I was guilty of that too. And I remember this one particular church had a membership, they called it. You don't have to go anywhere. You can join the Church of the Air, they called it. In other words, over the airwaves. And I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. I could be part of this church, big church, and listen to it every Sunday. And I did. I got up and watched it religiously. I didn't want to miss it. But I realized that it wasn't doing my family any good. It wasn't doing my kids any good. It wasn't really doing me any good. It was just an excuse to not have to do what I should be doing. And it is a commitment to get up on Sunday and go to church. It's a commitment to get your kids up. And I think that you reap unbelievable rewards if you're willing to do it.
Well, but what I'm saying is people act like it's a tough commitment, but you commit to every other. I mean, not to keep picking on this, but like you would commit to get them up if you had tickets to a ball game or Cedar Point. I mean, what's the difference? I mean,
people get up. Yeah,
exactly. if you got season tickets to the, you know,
you got a noon game at Cleveland.
Yeah,
you're up real early headed to Cleveland.
Right.
And yeah, I mean that's just it. I mean, it's where is your heart? Where's your heart? Where's your money?
But then like you have to drag your kid. You know, I mean that's the.
Yeah, the Bible's pretty clear about where your money goes, there goes your heart. Where your time goes, there goes your heart.
Yeah.
And you know, if you can't claim to have a heart for God but not give him the time of day, you know, you just can't do it. And people try to do that, and they wonder why their lives are still in shambles. And that's what's not fair, too, because a lot of people will start coming to church, but they really will never, ever surrender to Christ and get plugged into the church. They'll just dabble. Well, God doesn't honor dabbling. The Bible says he's a jealous God. He wants our love. He wants our affection. And,
well, I would think it'd either be you're either all in or all or you're not.
And that's just it. And people that aren't all in, what will happen is, well, it didn't really work for me, so I tried it. And that's not a fair shake either.
Yeah.
You know, and to tell other people that, you know. It's so easy today to find reasons not to do things, not to stay in a marriage. That's a huge one. Not to keep your kids, not to go to work. Job jumping today is unbelievable. I mean, it was so funny, you know. I hate to keep going back to the olden days because that's what everyone always says that older people do. But, you know, when I was growing up, I remember that most dads I knew had a company they worked for. And that's what they did, and that's what they were going to do until retirement age. And most of them did. And now nobody really does that. I mean, they'll jump from Honda to Whirlpool and back to Honda and back to there and or you know, whatever the case may be. Very few people work their entire life at one place anymore. Very few. And the truth is, I put a lot of that on employers and employees. You know, I don't think that you have the family atmosphere at work that you had many years ago, the pride for the product you were putting out, you know, being proud of what your company did. It's all about how much money you make, how quick you can make it, and what kind of benefits are you going to give me. And on the other side, it's all about how much productivity are you giving me, because I can get this done cheaper. You're out the door. And
well, now it seems like one of the deciding factors a lot is benefits. You know, I would rather, you know, instead of paying you $20 an hour plus, but I can get the work done with two $10 an hour people and not have to pay them any.
Yeah, that's not right either.
You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's the mentality and the approach that they're taking, you know, now.
Benefits are getting tough. I mean, it's really a drain on companies. But they, I'd rather have a lower wage job with full benefits a lot of times than,
right.
You know, because you're going to pay them out one way or the other. I'll be honest with you, though, Terry. What these companies are offering today are blowing me away. There is no reason for no one to be out taking these jobs. I know you're going to – Scott and I had this discussion the other day. You know, he was blown away by what some of these companies are offering right out of the gate.
Yeah.
And with no experience, right out of the gate, and they want you. And they'll train you, and it's like to hear people say there's no jobs, you better start looking in the mirror as to why you're not – why you don't have one.
And all I'm hearing is show up for work, and I mean, you know.
Exactly.
They don't care if you got experience.
No.
Show up.
I was telling either you or Scott on one of the shows a few weeks ago, you know, with what some of these places are paying now. If I didn't have a driver's license, I'd ask them permission to pitch a tent in the parking lot until I could get one. You know, I'd find a way, believe me.
Yeah.
You know, if I had to find a one-room sleeping room until I could get on my feet and walk to work, I'd do it. But, you know.
Well, some of these companies, I wouldn't be surprised if you went to them and they wouldn't have someone come and pick you up.
Oh, absolutely. There's carpooling that goes on. You know, the excuse of I don't have a ride to work, don't fly.
I think those days are over.
Yeah, you can find a way to work.
Well, what did I see? I seen an article on a guy that was retired from Honda that bought an old Greyhound or whatever, and he picks everybody up, takes them on second shift, $20 a week.
No kidding.
Yep.
And I bet he's making out on it.
He picks people up in Marion right here at Church Street.
Isn't that a smart idea?
Yeah. It's an old he refurbished an old like a Greyhound.
Yeah.
You can sleep on whatever you want to do on the bus.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it's 20 or 25 bucks a week.
And he meets you at the
drops you off right there and
that's a great idea. See, there's a man with some ingenuity.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was a Honda retiree and
you can even buy an old school bus and do the same thing. Well, wouldn't be so easy to sleep on a school bus, would it?
Right.
But no, see, those are, I mean, believe me, if you want to work, the jobs are out there. You know, unless you got a problem with passing a test, as in a drug test,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's just the way that is. The jobs are there now. I mean, we're at our lowest unemployment in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And even with that, there's people that are just choosing to stay home and not work. And I know that when I grew up, if you didn't work, you didn't eat. And it's not so much that way anymore. You can not work and still find food today, and find someone willing to put you up. It's usually mom and dad or grandma and grandpa. Maybe that's part of the problem too. Grandma and grandpa need to say, you know what, grow up. I did, and I don't know, but you know, I was just reading this last week.
That was going to be my next question, and you see this all the time: is how many grandparents are raising grandkids now?
Oh, an awful lot. I was just reading a passage the other day. We were talking about it in a Bible study about, you know, you don't work, you don't eat. That's you know, if you got someone in your amongst you that refuses to work, don't feed him. Put him out from among you. Make him go to work. And if we would do that, it sounds cruel, doesn't it? But it's not, because it's called tough love. You know, tough love works. They've proven that.
Yeah.
And they've rescued a lot of teenagers by these boot camps. They really have. It's called tough love. My parents gave me tough love. I just read a post today, and I can't remember its entirety because I was just skimming through it. And somebody was talking about, you know, when I grew up, you know, my parents did this. They tanned my hide. They did this, they did that, they did blah, blah. And then it said, oh, thank you, Mom and Dad, for all that. and, you know, it's because, hey, look, I learned, I grew, I became a productive citizen because you guys didn't let me get away with doing what I wanted to do. And, you know, we just don't do enough of that today, Terry. We need to do it more. I know it's hard. I love my grandkids, and I love my kids, and man, is it hard to say no sometimes. It really is. They look at you with those little eyes, and it's just like, oh, man, come on, man. And probably wasn't as hard when I was just a parent.
Right.
But now being a grandparent, right. Man.
My dad's in the same predicament as you. Every time they come over, my dad's like, well, I hate to send them home, but he's like, you know. You know, and like he told my sister, he said, he has two living parents, you know. He said, I hate to say that, but he said that he does, you know. And he said, there's only certain things that we can do for him. You know, we obviously don't have as much money as his parents do, you know. And there's a lot of stuff that his parents should, you know, But by the same token, too, I got to say, he doesn't really ask for a whole lot, you know, but...
You know, it's interesting about my grandkids. We give them a lot, but we require a lot. And what I mean by that is, I know when Shirley goes to the grocery store with me, half the time in the aisles, we're picking up stuff that the different kids like. And, oh, so-and-so likes this. Oh, so, you know, Jack, our one grandson, has to have chicken patties, breaded chicken patties. So when we're low, we got to get them. Let's see off the top of my head. Lauren likes fudge stripe cookies. On and on and on it goes. They all have their own thing. Sure. Jack also likes bologna. Matter of fact, I think Jack likes everything. But, you know, the different kids all like, and Shirley, honestly, she will. Liam's got to have bacon. It's just anyway, but the thing is, you know,
you find yourself in conversations, you know. Saying.
Yeah, what was it? Bryson like? Bryson likes the little triangle, like they're almost like a dumpling, but they got cheese and spaghetti sauce in them. You know what I mean? But they're deep fried.
Yeah,
that's Bryson's.
Almost like a pizza roll or something or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. And but anyway, you know, we do that stuff. But on the other hand, my grandkids, when I ask them to help me with something, they do it.
Yeah.
And their parents encourage that. Mm-hmm. You know, when your poppy tells you to help them, you help them. And they do. And so it's a give and take.
That's good.
They don't just lay around and get fat and get spoiled and not do anything.
Right, right. No. And I wasn't, my nephew didn't do that either. But it's just.
But a lot of kids would. They just take total advantage of their grandkids. Let's put it this way. Our grandparents, our grandkids are at the point where we want to continue doing things for them. It's not like it's a burden because they don't appreciate it.
Right.
You know, when someone doesn't appreciate something and you keep feeding the monster, it's no fun.
Right.
It's no fun at all.
And I guess that's what my point was, is that you know, there's some people that know that the grandparents will do, you know, so for example, they'll want their grandparents to buy the $200 and $300 shoes.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know those grandparents, did you?
No, but even though...
But they will.
Right, I mean, even though how... I don't know. I don't even know how to say it. But even though they probably shouldn't, you know, they still continue to ask them.
Yeah. Now, our grandkids are a little funny on the other hand. They will not ask us for anything. And usually when we say where they're going to get it for them, they go, no, don't. And we do it anyway. Because they've been raised to not do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I still like, you know, like, here's the deal. If I know they need something and I'm going to try to help do it. I'll give you an example. At the fair last year, I knew mom and dad were tight that month. That one of the kids' mom and dad was. He needed a bunch of shavings for his animals at the fair. So I went and bought shavings. I mean, just simple things like that. Helping out a kid that wants to get a vehicle, or I've done that, and those kind of things. And, you know, making them, they take part too. It's not like a freebie out the door.
Right.
But, you know, just doing those things because you know they appreciate it. They're not begging you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you forget about it once you've done it. You don't hold it over their head. You don't keep score. You don't do any of that stuff. That's kind of how families work together.
But from your standpoint, do you think that makes your bond stronger with them? Or I mean,
yeah, I think.
I mean, not in a preferential. I'm not saying like in a preferential treatment.
No,
you know,
no.
I mean, I'm just,
yeah. I've got one family that of my children that has never come around as much. I mean, even when they lived closer than anyone else, they just didn't. They feel that we don't care as much about their kids. And it's not a fair feeling because the truth is that, you know, when someone's around you all the time and you learn and you grow a bond together, there appears to be a closeness that when kids aren't around all the time, you know, they don't feel as comfortable around you either. And so that's kind of difficult. And I know with our grandkids, we would do anything for any of them. And if they don't know that, well, I don't know what to tell them. But, yeah, I think that it does help the bond. I think what helps the bond is they don't expect it.
Right.
They'll reluctantly take it. Sometimes they joyfully take it. But they don't come to me and expect me to, well, I'm going to tell Poppy and Nanny that I want these $180. First of all, my kids would not be buying $180 tennis shoes. They have more sense than that. My kids would gladly take a pair of good hand-me-downs, so their kids, and or shop in a thrift store if they needed to. And when it requires new stuff, they buy it. But the point is that, you know, they've been raised that way, to appreciate work, to appreciate what it produces, and that not everyone, money doesn't grow on trees. And I think that if you're out there and you're treating your kids like money grows on trees, you're doing them a very great disservice, because they're going to think that when the tree stops dropping apples, they're not going to know what to do. And it's just, I think that I'm just talking about stuff that I think, Terry, that everybody used to do that. Mm-hmm. Everyone used to be very similar to what I'm talking about. And our society was seemed to be a lot more balanced and normal. We have so many extremes today, it's unbelievable. And the hard thing is, we have so many different extremes that one group totally does not understand another group at all. Yeah. Whereas, you know, it's kind of funny. I grew up in a home that there was no alcohol whatsoever. I mean, it was not going to present. I had one Uncle Paul that used to show up plastered about every few months, playing Just As I Am on the piano in the middle of the night. But other than that, I was never around alcohol at all.
Right.
And I distinctly remember that heavy beer smell from when he'd come around. But anyway, we had a family down the street, and they were Catholic, and we weren't. And they drank a lot of beer, and he and his wife both did. And I remember when they would have a festival or a bazaar or something at their church, he would always man and run the beer wagon. And in my mind, that's as extreme as it got for me. That just blew my mind, that they were going to church and running a beer wagon.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, my parents liked those people. We conversed back and forth. But that was about as two extremes as I'd ever see growing up. Those were the two extremes. Except on a lot of times, if us kids got complaining about what we didn't have, my dad would take us to very poor communities in Columbus and drive around and say, "You want to live here? Look what these poor people have to deal with. Those kids don't have anything." And then I would see another real extreme. But what I'm getting at is this, that today there are so many extremes. I mean, that makes what I just talked about, someone's going to think, "Boy, that guy, he's just silly."
Yeah.
Of course, I did see a lot more extremes when I got into high school. Once my dad had been killed, was gone for a few years, I started getting into things I shouldn't, and I ended up in some of the worst places in the city of Columbus, where it's a wonder I'm alive today. But I spent time and hung out with people I shouldn't and slept where I shouldn't. I don't mean with people. I mean in places. And was around a lot of crime. And then I saw some real extremes. But today, our society's just bounced all over the place. And I'll be honest with you, Terry, I firmly believe this. And I'm not saying this to score any points with anyone. I firmly believe from the bottom of my heart that if we don't get a hold of ourselves and get back to some basic values that we shared for many, many years, that this country is a runaway train that's in real trouble. I firmly believe that. I mean, for years we heard, if people just had jobs, if there were just jobs. And you and I both know that right now there are jobs and people aren't filling them. You know, we have a societal problem today. When I was growing up, I often tongue-in-cheek say this, but it's pretty much the truth, that, you know, it wasn't that I was a really good boy, but what kept me from messing around with girls too much and doing things I shouldn't was because when I grew up, if you got a girl pregnant, you married her. And I thought, you know what? I'm not marrying just anybody.
That's right.
And I don't want them raising my child. So the point was, you just were very, you know, but today it's, you know, hey, it's like everybody thinks they're Johnny Appleseed. You know, they're just going to plant trees all over the place and let the government take care of them. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just wrong. And it's just as wrong. It's just as wrong knowing that you can go out and do anything you want to do and then just go have an abortion. That's wrong. If that's how you're using abortion as birth control, that's very, very wrong. And you don't use come on, let's have some responsibility there. And it's, so I guess what I'm getting at is that we've got to get some of these values back to where there some common sense values back. And a lot of them you're going to find in the church. Most of them you'll find in the church because that's where the root was. And if we don't get back to them, we're going to be in trouble. I mean, look at Europe. I mean, we're usually only a little ways behind Europe. London's a mess right now, man. A lot of these major cities and like in France and everywhere, I mean, they're not safe. The streets aren't safe. People are rioting because they're not getting the benefits these countries are going broke, man. They can't keep feeding a monster when there's nothing coming in on the backside to feed it. And, we can't keep doing that either. We got to keep people employed and motivated. I really feel, and this is so important, is that we've got to get the focus off of college prep and back on, get a huge part of our focus. Not that college prep's wrong, we need those people, but we've got to get back into a lot of vocational stuff and teaching trades, because there's just, we're running empty on that. Everybody wants to run towards computers and the technology fields, and they're leaving, there's nobody left to drive a nail. To fix a furnace, to keep car running.
And I was talking to a guy the other day. He was complaining because he got hired at, I want to say, like Worthington Air. So one of these HVAC places, they're only paying me $16 an hour, he said.
To start?
Yeah. I said, you're going to apprentice for, what, a year or two? Mm-hmm. Then you're going to go out on your own or you know, then you'll start making $30, $40, $50 an hour.
My son-in-law works for a company. He's a journeyman. Well, he's actually a supervisor now, but he's been there. He started out at the Delaware JVS in an apprentice program with one of these companies working in the summer, and that was, oh my, that's been 15, 16 years ago. But he was telling me that they will hire you with no experience. You can be an apprentice electrician, and these electricians are making monumental money. They can't find anyone to hire to apprentice for a job like that. And they're starting out as apprentices making $16, $17 an hour, and no one will take the job.
There's a guy that comes in Home Depot. He said, I'm 60 years old. He said, I can't crawl in attics no more. He said, I would be willing to pay an apprentice $50,000 a year.
Crawling attics. Isn't that amazing?
He said, find me somebody. And he works for Jess Howard, which is a big electric
company. Oh, it's huge. Been around forever.
Yeah.
Wow.
And every time he comes in, he just looks over at me and
throws his hands up in the air. Hey, Terry, how are you?
Good. Good.
Going to have a good week?
Yep.
Yeah, I am too. Hey, I want to thank everyone for being out there and listening land tonight. Didn't get any conversation out of anyone. Maybe you just like the conversation so well, you're just plain listening. Or maybe I talk so fast you can't get a word in edgewise. Anyway, hey, come and see us at Community you're Christian Fellowship, 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Love to have you at 10:30 for service on Sunday morning. God bless you.
Ohio.
I'm Charlie Evers, and I'll be on 10 till 12 today. And welcome your phone calls. Today, I'm going to leave it up to all of you to